The following program is paid for by Van Deest Medical Center, Webster City, Iowa.
Good morning and
well, almost. Hi, everybody. Welcome to our Focus on Health radio podcast for this Wednesday. We're doing it live. Pat Powers with you this morning and being joined with Iowa's from the Van Deest Medical Center there in Webster City. We have Lori Foster in the studio this morning. Lori, very good day to you.
Good morning to you, Pat. How are you today?
Well, not too bad. A little bit foggy out there this morning.
It was a little bit, but it's tolerable.
Yes, it is. Not too bad as we're already entering the first week of March. Well, last month we had about heart things going on here and there. We'll talk about heart health with Jade Williams coming up here in just a moment. But before we go any further, there was a very special event this week at on the grounds there at Wilsonboro Park in Webster City, just south of the original Hamilton County Hospital that happened, a sad event, 46 years ago there, Lori.
That is correct. Monday morning, there was a small group that gathered for the Life Flight Memorial. There were three crew members who lost their lives when a Life Flight helicopter crashed at the previous hospital grounds.
Yes.
And there were three pine trees that were actually planted on that that plot of land at the time, and those pine trees have since decayed and rotted, and they needed to be removed. And so there was a memorial that was placed. Actually, it's right along Brewer Creek Park Trail, right off the parking lot there.
Yeah.
There was a large boulder that was donated by Gerald and Joel Peterson with Peterson Construction. And then the city, there was a group that worked together. I have to give kudos to Brian Stroner, who kind of pulled it all together. He reached out to me and asked if the Hospital Foundation would be willing to contribute to that. And so the foundation did purchase and donate a bronze plaque to be placed on the boulder that tells a little bit about those that lost their lives. And
yes,
so it is a very nice memorial. We had
yes,
several family members that were able to join us that morning, and a really nice tribute to those.
Yes, indeed. And you see pictures of those on the KQWC Facebook page. Matter of fact, I sent the story down to Radio Iowa in Des Moines, so they ran the story yesterday about the sad event we had back in March of 1980, hard to believe.
Yes, the anniversary was yesterday, and so, yes, we had met on Monday morning. So thank you for doing that, Pat. I appreciate that.
You betcha. Well, let's talk about some other things happening at Van Deest Medical Center. There's a lot going on, Lori.
Yes, we actually have some celebration that I do want to share with our listeners. Today, Van Deest Medical Center once again has earned Top 100 Critical Access Hospital Award from the Chartis Center for Rural Health. So this is very exciting. This is for 2026. The Chartis Center does recognize outstanding performance among the nation's rural hospitals based on the results of the Chartis Rural Hospital Performance Index. And really what this shows is it demonstrates being a top performer. We are a hospital that really creates a roadmap for those seeking to improve financial and operational performance while continuing to care for the communities they serve. This is actually the 16th year of this recognition, and we're very proud that this is the fourth year in a row which we have been recognized as one of the rural hospitals from across the country. So we were one of only 12 hospitals in the state of Iowa to achieve this designation, and nationwide, there are approximately 1,380 critical access hospitals total. So congratulations to Van Deest Medical Center, and that is truly a terrific honor.
It sure is.
Yes.
Way to go.
Thank you. And I do have a couple other announcements to share. I know you have shared this for us, Pat, this week.
This morning, I believe.
Well, this is announcing Travis Williams. He is providing spine care services in the specialty clinic department at the hospital. Travis is with Iowa Ortho. He is the only visiting specialist coming from Iowa Ortho providing services at our hospital because, as you know, we have Dr. Somacetti, who is a general orthopedic surgeon who is providing all other orthopedic care at our hospital. But we're very pleased to have Travis and his specific services there. He treats orthopedic spine conditions, He values a conservative approach when possible. He offers a variety of treatment options, including physical therapy, injections, and surgical consultation when needed. Travis is seeing patients on the fourth Wednesday morning of each month in our specialty clinic department. People can schedule appointments by calling that department at 515-832-7746. And I did have the opportunity to meet with Travis last Wednesday when he was on site seeing patients and welcomed him to do a radio show. So we hope to get him on the air, hopefully, when he returns at the end of this month.
Wonderful.
Yes. Also, a couple other announcements that I want to share. This is a great opportunity for graduating seniors. The Van Deese Medical Center Auxiliary is offering six $1,000 scholarships to 2026 high school graduates wishing to pursue a career in healthcare. Individuals going back to further their education in the healthcare field will also be considered. Applicants must be a resident of Hamilton County or a graduate of any high school within Hamilton County, currently working, or have a parent working at Van Deese Medical Center at the time of the award. The scholarship application forms are available at all of the area high schools in Hamilton County, and the application is available on our website. So you can go to vandeesemc.org to print the scholarship and get that submitted. The deadline for the application is April 15th, so you'll want to make sure to get that postmarked no later than April 15th.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have
a
couple other announcements, just reminders that I want to share as I go through my notes here.
Okay.
We do have, excuse me, our next grief support group that will be meeting next Tuesday, March 10th. From 12 to 1 in the hospital conference room. This group is being facilitated by Pastor Sarah Namukose with Asbury United Methodist Church. We are hosting the group. The group is meeting the second Tuesday of every month. So again, that is coming up next Tuesday, March 10th. All faith backgrounds are welcome to attend. Want to make sure that we share that. It's a great opportunity for people looking for some support there. Also, the next community blood drive will be held Thursday, March 19th from 12:30 to 5:30 in the clinic boardroom. Appointments are encouraged. You can go online to lifeservebloodcenter.org to schedule your appointment. Donors will receive a free Scooters cookie and a 20% off coupon to the gift shop at Van Deese Medical Center. And then lastly, of course, I want you to save the date, plan to join us. Bring your kids, grandkids out. We will be hosting the community Easter egg hunt out at Van Deese Medical Center at the end of the month on Saturday, March 28th. Things will begin at 10 a.m. sharp. We will have three different age groups for the Easter egg hunts. We will also have a sensory-friendly and adaptive hunt available for kids and young adults with disabilities. We have a color run that will take place at 10:30 and lots of activities going on. We will have photos with the Easter Bunny and Tedwin, our therapy dog. We will have balloon Easter ears, face painting. We'll have live animals, including Highland cows, bunnies, chicks, kittens, and lambs. We hope you will plan to join us Saturday, March 28th, out at Van Deese Medical Center.
Sounds good. A lot of stuff
going on.
Yes, indeedy, Lori.
Yes.
So, and now we're on to our next subject, all about Heart Health Month. I realize we're already in the 4th of March as we're doing this program. Of course, February was a big month for heart, but we decided to extend it by a few days anyway. And we have a very dear friend of ours. We have Jane Williams from Van Deese Medical Center. So, Lori, I'll let you carry on with that.
Wonderful. Yes. Thank you, Pat. You're right. February is American Heart Month. But really, any time of year is a great time to be talking about heart health. And we certainly appreciate having nurse practitioner Jade Williams with us to share some heart healthy tips with all of our listeners. Good morning to you, Jade.
Good morning.
Thank you for joining us on the program.
Thanks. Thank you. So as Pat and Lori both mentioned, February was Heart Healthy Month. But unfortunately, I had some family, you know, surprises that came along, including some care my husband needed at Van Deest. So everybody was gracious enough to allow me to extend this into March. So hopefully this will be some new information and a couple little tidbits to take away from our show today. So
absolutely.
So really just delving right in, discussing that, you know, unfortunately, heart disease is one of those leading causes of death worldwide. And unfortunately, most of heart disease can be preventable. So today, my goal is just to focus on some simple, realistic steps that we can start to take and incorporate into our daily lives. just some basics. Your heart works, you know, nonstop, about 100,000 beats a day, and pumps oxygen and nutrients to every organ. And heart disease affects people of all ages, and many risk factors are within our control. So the biggest thing is that the heart isn't just about avoiding heart attacks, but it also affects our energy, brain health, mobility, as well as longevity. Common and often silent risk factors that we may not think about are high blood pressure, high cholesterol, smoking and vaping, a poor diet, lack of physical activity, and of course, chronic stress and poor sleep. Many people feel fine until serious damage has already happened, and that's why prevention is key. So those small changes equal powerful protection. You don't need extreme diets or a gym membership. Consistency matters more than perfection, and every positive choice is going to help. So heart health isn't just about that progress. It's more about progress and not necessarily being concerned with punishment. So the number one habit that we could all learn to incorporate into our daily lives would be to move your body, aiming for at least 30 minutes most days. And those examples can include anything from bicycling, dancing, playing with our children, our grandchildren, gardening, cycling. The biggest thing is to consider that that time would just need to be additional to whatever your normal daily tasks are and make it more intentional. So movement is going to help strengthen the heart and lower blood pressure and improves your mood. And you can also consider breaking these into smaller chunks of time. So 10 minutes, three times a day, much easier to knock out than chunking into, you know, those bigger time blocks when we all know that time is very limited in our daily lives. So eating as well for a heart healthy diet, you want to focus primarily on adding and not restricting. So really thinking about those whole foods and nutrients dense options. You know, they've had some newer guidelines that have just came out recently from in regards to, you know, prior to this, it was My Plate. And now we're kind of looking at an upside down pyramid in regards to that. And so these new guidelines emphasize eating real, minimally processed foods rich in nutrients. So thinking of vegetables and fruits throughout your day, whole grains rather than those refined grains, and healthy fats such as those nuts, seeds, olives, olive oil and avocados, and then thinking about those protein rich foods that, in my opinion, when looking at the new guidelines, was probably one of the bigger takeaways and such a change in regards to how we were focusing on nutrition before. So being sure that you're including seafood, lean meats, beans, peas, lentils, nuts, and of course, soy. The guidelines in regards to prioritizing your protein really makes note that you should think about it at every meal and it should kind of take center stage. Daily protein targets were raised to approximately 1.2 to 1.6 grams per kilogram. So 1 kilogram equates to 2.2 pounds. So, you know, realistically, I tell patients kind of think about doing 1 gram per pound. And that's a lot easier math to consider. Also knowing that, you know, if you can get within 10% of that goal every day, then you're really just kind of meeting that target, because some days you'll probably consume less than, you know, maybe the next day, but essentially aiming for that.
And in order to do that, you have to be very thoughtful about your diet, and it really correct. Almost takes some planning, because that's a lot of protein
yes.
to get into your day each day.
Yes, absolutely. So making, you know, like thinking about choices, you could incorporate different types of protein supplements. So sometimes you might need to offset with protein powders or things like that. Ideally, the goal is that you're focusing on the whole nutrient dense food first and then kind of supplementing. And that's why we call it a supplement. So the goal would be also, if you are going to choose to utilize any type of protein supplement, making sure that the ingredients are, you know, as clean and unprocessed as possible, making sure it's been through third-party testing, because unfortunately there is some risk with the protein supplement. You know, in the past, some have tested for heavy metals or, you know, different things like mm-hmm. that, or maybe not the best fillers that can be added. So really becoming accustomed to looking at those nutrition labels and seeing which one would work best for you. Another consideration is if you want to incorporate some type of protein powder or protein supplement, just know if it's not something you traditionally are used to taking, it can cause some GI upset. So really going low and going slow. Mm-hmm. So maybe starting with a half a scoop and working your way up as your body adjusts and gets used to it. Something else to consider that's kind of become a big in that market is that some of the protein supplements now incorporate something called digestive enzymes, which is great in theory, but they have a time and a place and really need to be consumed with a meal. So you wouldn't really want to be consuming those protein powders with those separate without anything to eat. That will definitely cause some GI distress. So just being mindful, thinking about that. Other ways you can offset, you can always incorporate, you know, milk instead of water. A lot of them tell you to mix with water. But if you're looking to really get a little more bang for your buck and a little more satiation through the use of them, I would recommend utilizing milk instead of the water. So just a couple extra little tips there. You can also get protein from a variety of plant-based products as well. So just also not really forgetting about, you know, those types of products that are available, or just your regular old beans. You know, you might be consuming a lot, but chickpeas, black beans, those are all really nutrient dense and also really high in fiber, which is something you guys hear me talk about a lot as well.
Yes, so, which is so very important. And those two in particular, I mean, there are several beans, but black beans in particular are really good for you.
Yes.
And chickpeas too.
Yes. And they're actually quite, you can get super creative if you really want. Black bean brownies are a good option. So maybe something you could try to, you know, introduce, and maybe children would take to that, and then slowly, you know, incorporate them into other ways into your diet. Hummus as well. I know this is not the way hummus was intended to be eaten, but they do sell chocolate hummus, and my children love that. Yeah, yes. I'm also a huge fan.
It's good.
So, you know, if you're looking for a sweet tooth, but a little maybe different, looking for a little healthier option, those are great, a couple great tips you could consider. So, but just being sure too that you're also thinking about those healthy fats from the whole foods, as well as the oils like olive oil, coconut oil, avocado, and then being mindful of the saturated fat. So really the recommendations are encouraging for that to be about 10% of daily or less of your daily calories in saturated fat. And this really does still align with any of that longstanding heart healthy advice. So saturated fat, if you're looking at the label, it'll say total fat. And then right below that, it identifies how much saturated fat. Even our protein powders typically have some type of fat. You know, our body absorbs the protein best if it's consumed with fat. That's another thing to consider. So you can't really have protein doing its job if you don't have some type of fat as well to help with that. So just being mindful, you know, with those choices, you can't necessarily always get rid of the fat. Fat and protein go great together. And in nature, in general, you would have protein with your fat. They just, you know, that's the way it was made. So just thinking about that, but being mindful how much saturated fat you're consuming. And then also thinking about that could be nuts, seeds, fish, and then your more often high saturated fat options could include like your full fat dairy, but those aren't necessarily off the table either. And, you know, a dietitian, we have Christy. Yes. She is a great resource. Mm-hmm. I would definitely encourage anybody, if this is something you're interested in or making adjustments to your daily nutrition habits, she would be a great person to meet with and a great resource. And then kind of seeing how and what you could adjust in your life. But, even things down to Greek yogurt are good options as well to start to incorporate. Good for gut health. You can buy them plain and then do your own add-ins and modify it to what you like. And then also that would move into being sure that you're being mindful about the added sugars. So you don't need to give up everything you love, but just really kind of shifting and being considerate, eating less of those ultra processed foods, sugary drinks, and then of course excess salt. The new guidelines do take a stricter stance in regards to added sugars. So no added sugar is considered a part of a healthy diet, which is actually very difficult as sugar is kind of found in everything. Like I said, yogurts, but even your cheeses can have added sugar. So unfortunately, becoming more mindful and reading those nutrition labels when you're doing your grocery shopping. And then thinking about the guidelines recommend trying to keep added sugars at less than or equal to 10 grams per meal. So that equates to about 2 teaspoons, which really isn't a lot.
It is not a lot. And I have to say, is just interjecting here, how important it is to look at those labels. I will admit, I got this blueberry tea. So you think tea is healthy, and I've been wanting to get more tea. It's something I can drink in the afternoon rather than I don't drink coffee typically in the afternoon. And this blueberry tea was so good. And I just happened to look at the package when I got home. And I don't even want to say how many grams of added sugar it had. I was like, oh my gosh, no wonder it tastes so good.
Yes, absolutely. Sugar and salt. That's the way to make things the most enjoyable. So,
look at those before you purchase.
Well, and sometimes too, it's misleading because we tend to think tea being unprocessed generally, or, you know, minimally processed, it's good for you. It has a lot of antioxidants. So, and it's blueberry. So right there, you would make the assumption by just nature, what it says that it is, that it's going to be more on the healthy, a better health option for you. Same thing with yogurt, but some yogurts on the market, even the same brand, varies widely in sugars, added sugars, sugar alcohols, all of those. And so unfortunately, some of those can be higher than the cereal, you know, choices that you could have. So just, you can't tackle every nutrition label when you're in the grocery store, but maybe just pick one area that day while you're, you know, getting groceries for you or your family, and then moving from there and just kind of building on that. And like I said, always reach out to the dietitian if you start to have any questions or what does that mean? Because sometimes it can become extremely overwhelming, you know, and you can't expect to tackle every nutrition label while you're grocery shopping. You'd never leave the store.
You wouldn't. That is so true.
Might not leave with anything at that point. So
walk out discouraged. But it is easy, you know, again, with the yogurts and Greek yogurt. And a lot of times, if you just do the plain Greek yogurt and you look for one that doesn't have like a lot of the added sugar, you can add some fresh fruit to that.
Yes.
You can add some nuts, you know, to that to make it a healthy meal for you and not have those added sugars.
Right. And if it has fat and you add the nuts, then that's going to provide you more fulfillment from that meal. If not, if you're consuming maybe more protein and not really as much fat, then you might tend to find that you're going to be hungrier more often, just because that fat will help keep you feeling satisfied. So really, and why does it matter? Why are we so concerned about high sugar intake? Well, it really is going to contribute to, unfortunately, weight gain. It's typically a little more on the slower, steady side, but that weight starts to accumulate and then unfortunately can contribute to things such as high blood pressure, elevated cholesterol levels, and of course, concern for diabetes, which is a major risk factor for heart disease. And then considering how to cut back on highly processed foods, you know, everything that basically has a label or has something listed on it, and the ingredients, unfortunately, has some level of processing that's been happening. So trying to just be mindful about what is in that nutrition label and kind of moving from there. I know there used to be recommendation, you know, you just shop on the perimeter of the grocery store. That would be a question for Christy if she really feels that that's where the most nutrient dense foods still live, or if that has become a bit of a fallacy. So, yeah, that would be something, I guess, I've, you know, in my opinion, just seeing what's available, I'm not sure that that would be the truth. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's something we could ask Christy.
Well, she'll be on the show next week. So
oh, perfect.
We'll have to remember to ask her.
Okay.
Yes.
And then thinking about, you know, you can swap out, like I said, for those whole foods, fruits and vegetables, but then also considering how much sodium and alcohol we're consuming. You know, sodium, realistically, we say 3,000 milligrams or less a day. But if you're consuming any of those electrolyte drinks or packets, those in and of itself usually have 1,000 milligrams of sodium. So if you are consuming that, you need to be sure then that you're really offsetting it with plenty of water. But also, if you know you have heart disease or a concern for heart disease, that's a question for your cardiologist. I'd really caution patients because we're usually very concerned how much salt are you taking in, how much water, because it's a fine line of balance. So you might need to have a conversation with your providers in regards to that. And then really these nutritional principles, we're just thinking about improving those cholesterol profiles, helping maintain a healthy weight, lowering your blood pressure, reducing inflammation, and limiting risk factors for diabetes and heart disease. So another thing to be concerned about is your blood pressure, and this is known as the silent killer. Often we have no symptoms until it becomes a significant issue, and one of the major ways we can do it is, one, get it checked regularly, and also reduce your salt and try to manage your stress and think about how well your sleep and what your sleep quality is. You can go typically to your local community pharmacy and have your blood pressure checked. But if you're concerned, I would just recommend popping in to see your provider, have it checked, and go from there. We have a great blood pressure program with our health coaches at the hospital. And they'll work with you for multiple weeks. And then they also are in direct communication with your provider, which is great. Mm-hmm. And then we can make adjustments right there. You don't necessarily have to be seen. And then, of course, quitting smoking or vaping, as this is going to provide you the biggest bang for your buck, and managing that stress and sleep. So thinking about aiming for 7 to 9 hours. But I did put just together a real quick heart healthy checklist. So something you could start to incorporate on a regular basis, or just really kind of picking one and then building on that. Considering adding in a walk for 10 minutes a day and then building up to that 30 minutes, or doing 10 minutes three times a day, whatever will work. Add one vegetable per meal. Consider having your blood pressure checked and do it on at minimum a yearly exam, and then go from there. Consider increasing your water intake. You know, anywhere from 64 to 100 ounces a day would be optimal. And then try to go to bed 30 minutes early and kind of figure out where is that optimal bedtime for you, and really gauge how you feel when you wake up then in the morning. If you're waking up and you feel rested, then that's a good sign. But if you're waking up and you're still not quite feeling rested, then that's where you might need to go in and visit with your provider and see what needs to be tweaked. And then, of course, if you feel like you're having a cardiac event or feel like you're having something that is concerning, the signs and symptoms to watch out for would be that chest pain or pressure, shortness of breath, pain in your arm, jaw, neck, or back, or any sudden dizziness or nausea. And those would all be reasons to call 911 and see if you need to be seen in the ER.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
Yeah.
Jade, thank you so much. Great information, great tips for keeping our hearts healthy. I do want to mention Jay does a terrific job. She oversees our skilled care program at the hospital. She also sees patients at Vandy's Family Health Clinic here in Webster City. You can call 515-832-7800 to schedule an appointment with Jade.
Okay.
Jade, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And that was, again, Jade Williams. Lori, anything else?
That will do it for today.
All right. And Focus on Health brought to you by Vandy's Medical Center, where their focus is you, and I'm Pat Powers. The preceding program was paid for by Vandy's Medical Center, Webster City, Iowa. Now this Wednesday news update from KQWC.